Well, before there can be a Jesus revolution in society, there needs to be a Jesus revolution in the church. What kind of changes do you think God wants to bring about among us?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I am sitting here today tremendously encouraged, and it's not because of anything happening in society. It's not because of anything happening that I'm aware of in the church in particular. It's not because of anything in particular in my own life that's going on, not some good news or surprising news, but I sit here tremendously encouraged because Jesus is Lord, because he has risen from the dead, and that's really the bottom line. That's really everything. If, in fact, our faith is true, which it is, if, in fact, he died for our sins and rose from the dead and is coming again and he is Lord and we'll be with him forever, that's the ultimate only news we need to know in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of pain, in the midst of challenging circumstances. May that encourage you today as well. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Now, I'm also delighted to have a surprise guest with me, but I can't say anything more about it because it's a surprise, and that brings some extra encouragement as well. I'll tell you tomorrow what the surprise was, but we're going to be talking about something really important today. You know, a great theme of this broadcast is Jesus Revolution, Jesus radically changing us, and we go to radically change the world around us through the power of the gospel, not through earthly means of hatred, intimidation, anger, violence, God forbid. No, but the Jesus methods of overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming error with truth. But some years ago, in fact, let me see if I have the exact date. I was sitting, here it is, February 14th, 2001. It's almost exactly 13 years ago. Sitting with our leadership team at Fire School of Ministry, we were then based in Pensacola, Florida. A dear friend from England, Derek Brown, no relation to me, by the way, dear brother, fellow worker from England, we were sitting together talking about our vision to see a Jesus revolution make an impact on our society. And he made this simple but profound comment: before there can be a revolution in the society, there must first be a revolution in the church. Now, look, it's easy to throw stones. To every pastor who's listening, to every ministry leader who's listening, my hat is off to you for your sacrifice, for your service. I have a lot of challenges on my plate. I'm going pretty much nonstop. We're involved in ministry around the world, around America, among the lost sheep of the house of Israel, involved in very intense, high-level conflicts all the time. But the role of a local pastor, local shepherd, caring for the flock, those of you who counsel, those of you who sit patiently week in, week out with your people, helping them through difficult times, seeing the same people week in, week out, my hat is off to you for your faithfulness, for your loyalty. And it's easy for others to just throw stone. Well, the church is this, well, the church is that, and people just walk out. Well, God's through with organized religion. Well, the fact is that's often just a cop-out. And I've seen people leave Sunday morning services and have house meetings, and the house meetings are no better than their Sunday morning services. In fact, sometimes they're a step backwards. So we're not just talking about saying negative things about the church, but what needs to change? What do we need to become if we are really going to shake this nation, if we are really going to see a cultural upheaval that we talked about yesterday, if we're really going to see moral and social reformation? What changes have to come among God's people? What has to be different in us so that we can go and change the world? How do we have to change? Phone lines are open, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I've got some quotes that will stir your heart today as well. Some good news to share with you. Where does a change have to start among us? 866-34-TRUTH.
fire we
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We invite you all to come with us and sing a song of praise. Come along and sing with us and together we will praise Him. Singing praises from our hearts to walk with God.
You know, there was a Jesus People movement that came on the heels of the Jesus Revolution. Came on the heels of the counterculture revolution. I was involved in both of those. I was involved in the sinful, destructive ways of the counterculture revolution, and I was involved in the transforming days of the Jesus Revolution. And yet, so many that were saved during that time, late 60s, early 70s, didn't have right foundations, and many did not make it long term. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast. We agree we need radical change, but where? How? It's easy to just find fault. There is no good that comes out of cynicism and skepticism. Discernment is great, but to just have a mocking, critical spirit does not advance the cause of the gospel. To simply talk about what's wrong with the that denomination, that pastor, that church, those people, to just talk like that doesn't help anything, doesn't advance the work of the gospel, doesn't bring people to Jesus, doesn't produce a spirit of prayer, doesn't produce a spirit of faith. It's one thing to honestly say we have critical needs. It's one thing to honestly say we are in a crisis in many ways. It's one thing to get urgent and call for prayer and fasting. In fact, this is the second day. If you haven't joined us, please do be praying with us. And if the Lord lays it on your heart to fast in any way over these next 21 days, this is the second day we are going to God specifically because we're at a point of bursting at the seams. Many ministries go through this. This is our time to be going through it. We are literally bursting at the seams. We are literally facing more wonderful opportunities to extend the work, to do the very things that God has called us to do, but we don't have the resources to take these steps. In fact, we have to believe God every month for several tens of thousands of dollars just to maintain where we are. Above and beyond what comes in, we have to believe God for these funds. So we're asking you to join us in prayer and faith, and to simply say, God, back the vision with your provision. Back them. If you believe there's a mission that we have in the world today, if you believe it's important for this radio broadcast to be on the airwaves, if you believe it's important for us to get our messages out in written form, if you believe it's important for us to be training laborers and sending them out to the nations, if you believe it's important for us to be on the front lines of confronting society with the truth of the gospel, if you believe it's important for us to be reaching out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and equipping the church to witness to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, then we're asking you to stand with us in a way that everyone can pray and ask God to help and ask God to provide. God knows the way we live. God knows where our salaries go. God knows the amount of money that comes through here that goes right back out into ministry. In fact, you'd be hard-pressed to find a stateside ministry like this where more funds go right back out as opposed to into the pockets of those serving here. God knows that. He's my witness and our witness. So pray with us that God would back us. We are stretched to the limit. We really need His help. We need to expand our staff. We have marvelous open doors for major TV, internet, and other means to expand with free broadcast time, but we need funds to develop our new TV broadcasts. So believe God with us. But as I was saying, it's fine to be desperate. It's fine to be absolutely realistic. It's fine to say something is not right. We need to go to God. We need to repent. We need to seek His face. That's biblical. That's right. That's New Testament as well as Old Testament. But when we just get critical and run everybody else down and we think somehow that's being godly, somehow that's the gospel, just standing around criticizing everybody, what good? What good does that do? How does it help? How does it advance the gospel? Well, I looked away from the phones for a moment. Phone lines are jammed. 866-34-TRUTH. Very quickly, then I'm going to the phones. all of my friends listening on WHIM in Miami, you're normally hearing our broadcast the day after it airs because of the Spanish language broadcast that takes place in the afternoon on the station. So you're normally hearing, say, my Monday broadcast on Tuesday. This Friday, 11 o'clock, WHIM, I will be coming your way live just for WHIM. Nobody else will be listening, getting the broadcast, just WHIM listeners in Greater Miami, 11 to 12 in the morning on Friday. I'll be doing a special edition. If you've got questions, we've got answers, and then ministering in Cooper City. So it's just a few minutes away from you, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Monday morning. I'll be announcing all that on the Friday broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. And I encourage you to read my latest article, From Fetus Slayer to Pro-Life Champion, to show you how God has taken some of the most prominent pro-abortion activists and made them pro-life champions. Why not? We're talking about God. We're talking about God. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones, beginning with Doug in Arlington, Virginia. Where do you feel the change needs to begin?
Well, I think that when you look at the fact that 80% of the churches are still segregated, according to Rice University, I think that if we make a determination to reach out and unite churches on critical issues like human trafficking prevention, sanctity of human life, anti-poverty, and you know, and make this a priority in people who have name recognition to step up and make this a strong priority, we could have a spiritual revolution in this country. You know, we could just energize these churches and have community transformation all across the United States. I think that's a positive thing that we could do.
All right, so uniting around a certain cause like human trafficking or abortion, obviously.
Well, I mean, yeah, for
right, so the question is, Doug, of course I agree with you, and I think it's a great point. The question is, when we are so separated, how do we unite? Is that something more fundamental? But thank you for the call, sir. You're right, I agree. 866-34-TRUTH. Look, if maybe one, here, I'll be realistic. If one out of every 100 born-again believers in America gave himself to pro-life activity, we could see abortion on demand almost wiped out from America, and real compassionate provision for moms, for the babies that they may not want to have, for dads. One in a hundred. I don't believe that's an exaggerated statement at all. Before there can be a Jesus revolution in society, there must be revolution in the church. I wrote a whole book about that. We're not featuring that today. You can get it online. Revolution in the Church, Challenging the Religious System with a Call for Radical Change. And you know, one question I always ask myself is this. How do I know I'm not part of the religious system? How do I know I'm not part of the traditional movement that's standing in the way of the Holy Spirit? And it gets me on my face. And it gets me looking to the Lord. Where must change come first? Look, people are trying. Leaders are trying. People are talking about solutions. They're strategizing. Are we doing it the wrong way? Are we leaning on the arm of the flesh? What's trending on Twitter? All right, well, we realize that if the pastor wears a plaid suit and striped pants, that no one will come. But if he wears this outfit and combs his hair a certain way, and if he's older, if he dyes his hair, he'll get more people in. Is that what we're reduced to? Getting some marketing strategist? Well, I'm not saying that we'd be foolish, but I have a question for you. Do you think if somebody was wearing outdated clothes and had an outdated hairdo and had no degrees behind their name and didn't really have a good music team, but the Holy Spirit was upon that person, and the sick, people with terminal cancer were being instantly healed, and drug addicts were being instantly delivered, and suicidal young people were being instantly transformed, and people were genuinely coming to know Jesus. Do you think that there'd be any way to stop the crowds from coming? 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, as soon as we come back, I'm going straight to the calls to get to as many calls as I can. 866-34-TRUTH. And it's just interesting to me from the number of calls yesterday and today, the response, the interest. This is something of concern. Look, America recognizes things are messed up. A tiny percentage actually watched the president's State of the Union address. Even people that were once enthusiastic about him realized the hope and change they were hoping for isn't coming. It's not to bash the president. It's to say something's wrong on a deeper, fundamental level. There needs to be a revolution. We've been talking about it for years. It's been growing. It's happening in certain circles. What steps must we take? What must come first in our midst as the people of God to see change?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This is my commandment. This is my commandment. That you love, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment. That you
love. The voice of Keith Green. To be with the Lord in that tragic plane crash in 82, his ministry continues through his wife, Melody, and through the songs and writings and messages he left behind. He was a revolutionary voice in many ways. He was challenging us. He was outside the box. Not saying that we don't have anyone like him today, but just more of the same, friends, is only going to produce more of the same. Sometimes we need to think outside the box, or sometimes we just need to go back to the basics. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Tacoma Park, Maryland. Frank, thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire.
Hey, how's it going? So in a nutshell, basically, what I feel, in order to spark a revolution, you look at all your main revolutions that has gone on in history, such as the Reformation of Martin Luther and Martin Luther King and the Revolutionary War. They all spring off of one thing, and that's anger of what's going on with their circumstances and their environment, with what's going on. And so what I feel is we ought to be angry, and not only just angry, but angry and do not sin.
Mm-hmm.
How I feel is that we should be in anger of our circumstances and what's going on within our own realm, within the church.
All right, so let me ask you a question, all right?
Sure.
Yes, we need to have a righteous anger. My friend Larry Tomczak just wrote an article about that. God is angry, are you? In the very same way that there are things that anger God, and there is a righteous anger that we can share. There's a fleshly way to do it, you know, where we get all worked up and people make us feel underprivileged and we get angry and we want to get even. But there's a righteous anger, a righteous burden. And you're right, there has to be a certain discontent. How do we get that in a holy way?
How can we get that in a holy way?
Yes, sir.
Well, let me see. If I'm discontent with the situation, I can, let's say, for example, I'm angry with the church and the way that things are being ran. When I say the church is a people. And so my biblical response was to be maybe pull aside an individual or kind of like reason with my brother or reason with those who are within the church.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate that. I think there's something deeper, though, which is, and I appreciate that, I think what has to happen is we have to get alone with God and get God's heart and share his heart and share his perspective. And when we share his heart and share his perspective, the burden of the Lord burns in us. But you're absolutely right. The sense of lack of freedom, the sense of discontent, but then it can't be taken out towards people. It must be a holy burden that moves us deeper in God ourselves. But Frank, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. 866-3-4-TRUTH. If you could push a button and make one fundamental change in the church to help us align with the purposes of God, what would it be? I wrote down a list of a few things myself. Where does the change need to come in us so it could spread to the society? Let's go to Sheila in Boston. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I've been just really grieved at the Holy Spirit that's moving in a church, and there's always the contingency of those who resist the Holy Spirit. And I really believe that's where the revolution has to start. Mm. And as I wrestle through it in my own experience, I feel like God has shown me that we, our intercession not needs to be more than just prayer, but repentance for those parties that are resisting his move. And I have found that as I have gone into my prayer closet and really interceded and hurt for these people who are an enemy of the cross, an enemy of God's movement, that it isn't a matter of arguing and debating theology. It's a matter of getting God's feeling on the situation and really repenting for them.
Yes.
And I found peace. I have found peace in it. And I feel like that is where the answer God has given to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and let me just jump in because of time, Sheila. You know, you said two things that are really important. One is openness to the Spirit. I'm going to come back to that. And two is repenting on behalf of others. When you really get God's heart in intercession, rather than criticizing others, you take it on yourself as if it's your own burden or your own sin. And you say, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, not forgive them, those people, those spirit queens, those pharisaical legalists. No, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. So, absolutely. But may I say that that's important, that's on my list as well, openness to the Spirit. Lord, we welcome your Spirit in our corporate meetings. We welcome your Spirit in our house meetings. We welcome your Spirit in our personal lives. We will be responsible shepherds and stewards, but we relinquish control to you and submit to your control. You never know what God will do. You never know what he'll shake. You never know how he'll move and what lives will be touched. Thank you for the call, Sheila. 866-34-TRUTH. Stay with me. I'm going to be taking calls right through the next half hour and the hour following. Friends, we have been appealing to God. I've been personally saying, Lord, you raise me up for this hour. I am not a superstar. There are no superstars in the kingdom. We're all servants. But I know my role. I know where God positioned me. You ever played tug of war as a kid, and it's this terrible battle, and nobody can win, and then some little kid just joins your team, and his little extra makes the difference? I know what God's called me to be. I know he's positioned me from my head to be like the tip of a battering ram. And if people will run with that battering ram, I'll take the impact smashing against the wall of culture resistance, the wall of unbelief, the wall of dead tradition, the wall of sin, and we'll believe together for breakthroughs. God's made me for this, but we need your help to do it. Would you join us in prayer, asking God to back us? Would you do that especially every day for the next 20 days? And if he lays it on your heart to fast a meal or fast in other ways, to do that, believing God for provision with us. And if you want to stand with us, allow us to bless you with a gorgeous 900-page hardcover volume. It contains my commentary on Jeremiah, 550 pages, plus a commentary on Lamentations and Ezekiel by other top Old Testament scholars. Your gift of $50 or more, be as generous as you can. Help us. And I want to send you this book. I want to sign it for you as well. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Today would be a great day also to become a torchbearer, monthly supporter. Stand with us, friends. Together we're making a difference.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Mother Teresa said, I alone cannot change the world, but I can cast a stone across the waters to create many ripples. You touch one life, that life touches another life. You don't know the end results. You don't know the effect that person you're praying for is going to have on a multitude of people. You don't know. Let the change begin with you and me. We can each say, Lord, here I am. Let me share something personal as we talk about the need for revolution in the church and how revolution in the church can then spread to revolution in society. 866-34-TRUTH. Well, I got saved in 1971. Many of you know my story, literally from LSD to PhD. I was at the doctor's office Friday. It turns out I had bronchitis, and the nurse was just asking me, do I smoke? No, never have smoked, never smoked a cigarette in my life. Alcohol, I said, no alcohol for 42 years. And I said, well, I did drugs, though, when I was a teenager. She goes, what kind of drugs? And I started listing them. She asked more. I said, you name it, I did it. She said, even this? I said, even that. I said, for 2 years, and then I got radically saved, but she didn't seem interested in hearing more about that. I was radically into sin. I was radically into drugs and rock music. When I got saved, I realized after a little while, I need to be radically given to the Lord. I began to understand that. I remember saying to myself, I could lead a clean but empty life, or I could give myself to Jesus the same way that I gave myself to drugs and rock music. In fact, Joey, get clip number 7 ready. I want to share some of the words of Melody Green in a moment. By the time I was saved a year, I was spending at least 6 hours alone with God in the Word and prayer, witnessing to at least one new person every week, going to our church services 4 or 5 times a week without fail, and burning bright for the Lord, just couldn't wait to be with Him and tell others about Him. By the time I was saved 11 years, I was finishing up my PhD work at New York University, married with 2 children, and still a committed believer, but I had really left a lot of my first love. I had justified it by saying I had become wiser and deeper, but in many ways I had just become colder. And God began to convict me. Oh, I was very committed compared to most, but I had really left my first love in God's sight. My wife Nancy knew it. Some others could see it. And God began to convict me. And I got to the point of saying, Lord, I could pray and fast and burn bright for a few days. And I'm not saying that everything is measured by prayer and fasting, but it's often an indication of what's happening in life. I said, I could go crazy in that sense, you know, just passionate for a few days and then back to the way I was before. So I said, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn in the right direction. If a day went by and I didn't pray at all, that day instead I'll pray 5 minutes. If a day went by and I prayed 20 minutes, instead I'll pray a half an hour. I'll spend more time. I won't just read the Word, you know, trying to learn the ancient languages better and almost feed my spirit secondarily. I'll feed my spirit. I'll just turn in the right direction and keep turning and keep turning. And before you know it, boom, something extraordinary happened. And I was changed, and I've been changed ever since. Oh, it's not that I don't have to walk in that ongoing discipline and correct myself at times along the way and receive God's correction, but I have been changed. Listen to what Melody Green said about the music and words of her husband, Keith.
I think the reason his music is so loved today by young people is because it does challenge them to be radical, to give 100%, to care about the lost. Even if it costs you your life, do it. You know, that's worth giving up all the other stuff for, because that's what they're longing for. This all-out 100% commitment to Jesus.
Ah, isn't that what you're made for? Young people, old people, isn't that what we're made for? If we simply put Jesus first and seek Him first and put His Word before other things and begin to make Him known, won't that be the single thing that sparks revolution in our own lives, in the church, and in society? Back with your calls as soon as we return.
Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Where does change need to come to us? Where does revolution need to come to the church before it can come to the society? 866-34-TRUTH. If there could be one shift, one emphasis, one thing different in the church, what would it be to bring about change in the world around us after we ourselves change? Yes, I know Leo Tolstoy was not a Christian, but he said everyone thinks of changing the world, but no one thinks of changing himself. Well, Leo Tolstoy, what exactly did he believe? But it's a great quote. Everyone thinks of changing the world, but no one thinks of changing himself. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Washington, D.C. All right, that won't work. Let's go to Queens, New York. Angela, welcome to the Line of Fire. Hello, Angela. Are you there? We lost Angela. Let's stay in New York. Let's try Don in Yonkers. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
And thank you, Dr. Brown, for another great show. The short answer to your question is, where does change come from? It comes from the individual first. God wants to change you and to change your mind. He doesn't want you to be within the walls of the church and congregating necessarily and looking at a pastor and looking for guidance from the pastor when you have the ultimate guidance of the Holy Spirit. So change comes from the individual himself. And let me just mention what God has said to this individual. I'm Don out of Yonkers. I'm on the battlefield of spiritual warfare, and this is where I'll be for the rest of my life. Here's what he told me. He told me about the revolution. And listening to you, doctor, you prompted me to think about the revolution. So I prayed on it, and this is what the Holy Spirit said to me. Here is your revolution. Your revolution comes from you first. You have to buy into it through me. There's not going to be a leader in this revolution. It's going to be man, and I'm talking to men across America, it's going to be man by man, listening to the Holy Spirit, using your gifts, banding together, because the devil is watching for any revolution, and if there is a leader, he will take them down like he took down Martin Luther King. So don't look to be a leader, because the devil is very, very shrewd. And we will band together on the spiritual war front, loving each other, using our gifts, and exhorting each other. And by the time the devil notices it and comes together and sees us banding together, loving one another, he will say, who is the leader of this mighty group of men that are banding together, loving each other, and being together as Christ said you should be? And we will all get together side by side, let him know this. And we will shout in unison, I am. And when he hears I am, he knows that God did this together. He will run, and he will never stop running. He won't look back either.
All right,
That's the way, Don. It's going to happen.
All right, so the key thing here is individually, as we were saying at the end of the last segment, we get rightly connected with God. Individually, like I said on the broadcast yesterday, you may look at the national statistics about obesity and think, oh, this is overwhelming. But hey, I have one life. I'm responsible for healthy diet and exercise in my own life. And with God's grace or simply discipline, that can be done. So what's stopping you from doing what you know God wants you to do in your own personal life, beginning with private devotion? Tim, hey, Don, thank you for the call. Of course, it's important for us to be connected with the local body. It's important for us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Hanging out with someone on the golf course is different than being in committed relationships with other believers, in fellowship, with accountability in our lives, with those gifted by God to help deepen us And yet we can so often depend on the church service, on the pastor, on the leader, and we can identify by our group or denomination as opposed to identifying primarily as Jesus people. Hey, friends, I get in hot water by reaching out to John MacArthur on the one hand and being on Benny Hinn's TV show on the other hand. And I've got people on either side damning both of them to hell. And I believe God wants us to identify as his people, where we see error to confront it, but to recognize that we're the people of God first. Let me ask you this. Are you ashamed of the name of Jesus? Say, no. Well, how is your personal witness? Or was there a time when there was just an overflow out of your own life to reach the lost, and that overflow isn't there? Now, I'm not condemning you. I'm not condemning me. But if something's missing, we go to our God and say, Lord, help. Lord, help. Something's missing. Something's wrong. Andrew Murray encourages us to confess prayerlessness as a sin and say, Lord, I'm guilty of the sin of prayerlessness, but I need your help to see change come. 866-34-TRUTH. Arlene in Brooklyn, New York. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. You know, all of what you said before and everyone has said, that's great, that's true. But I think where the church has missed it, we are trying to bring people to God. And God says, if we draw near to him and he yeah. draws near to us and we lift up Christ, he, God, will draw men to himself. We are fighting so hard to become like the world. We misunderstood what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I became all things to all men to win some. But we don't understand that. We're trying to become like the world, and the world is looking for an example, and we are not it. So if we draw near to God and allow him to empower us, then we can impact the world. And that's where we are going wrong. We forgot. And we must misunderstand what the word said.
You know, Arlene, a few minutes ago when I was talking about the change in my own life, mm-hmm. the verse I really wanted to emphasize was, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. And I failed to do it somehow in the midst of my talking. And here you are saying mm-hmm. the very words that were on my lips before. Mm-hmm. It is that, look, he does the work. Arlene's exactly right. What we're asking for is for him to do the work. It's just like the situation in our own ministry. When I went and talked to some of our senior team leaders a couple of weeks ago and said, we're doing everything God called us to do. We need a supernatural increase in funds. We're not going to go the way of the flesh. I mean, God wouldn't bless it anyway. But, you know, the carnal fundraising techniques and all that deplorable stuff. And we're not going to do that. We're going to honor the Lord. But he has to back us. When you know the vision that's in our hearts, and God put it there. Then the only way for us to fulfill that is with his supernatural help. Same way with your life, same way with your church. If the vision set before you is not impossible, as many have said, it's probably not a vision from God. We need his help to do it. We've leaned on the arm of the flesh for so long in the Church of America, haven't we, friends? We've leaned on our ways and figuring it out and going to the business world as opposed to looking at God. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Staten Island, New York. Angela, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Good afternoon. This is Angela from Staten Island. You know, I really love this topic because it gives us an opportunity to collectively bring all of our knowledge and the wisdom that God has given us, share it over the airways, and we can begin to examine ourselves even a little bit more closely. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing, absolutely nothing. And I think the change has to begin within our hearts. And he talks about how the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? But when the Holy Spirit begins to prick our hearts, we have to start examining ourselves and see exactly what our motives are. You know, if we do indeed have the heart of God. And I was reminded about Joshua, and I just want to read a quick verse about Joshua and how God says that the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And I'm also reminded about Deuteronomy 28, and I think it's important that we, each one of us in the body of Christ, reads Deuteronomy 28 often. And it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee once again. There's that.
All right, Angela, just got to jump in. The music's playing. I didn't want to interrupt your reading of the scriptures. How about John 15, friends? How about that? Without me, you can do nothing. How about we put our emphasis on abiding in Jesus and seeking him first, getting his word in our hearts?
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire. I want to play some clips for you from Pastor Jim Cimbala, one of his most famous messages about God's house being called a house of prayer. It's a life message for him in Brooklyn Tabernacle. I'm sure as I speak right now, many from Brooklyn Tabernacle congregations are listening to this broadcast simply because of the numbers of you in greater New York. 866-34-TRUTH, as we talk about change that needs to come in the church, I'm convinced that a lot of the stuff we talk about, a lot of the, you know, planning here and the strategizing here, it's all very secondary, and a lot of the rearranging of the furniture is all real secondary. If we could really be who God wants us to be in prayer first and in lifting up Jesus, a lot of the other things would fall into place, and God would give us wisdom where we need to make certain strategic changes as well. Listen to what Pastor Cimbala has to say.
Preaching, yes, but not my house shall be called the house of preaching. Music, yes, but my house shall not be called the house of music. My house shall be called the house of prayer. In a lot of churches and a lot of services, you have everything but prayer. You have talks, readings, talent, choir, and my wife conducts the choir. I'm all for those things, but you get what I'm driving at? If it doesn't end up with somebody touching God and praying, who are we kidding?
Absolutely right. Let's keep listening.
Someone says, well, Brother Jim, now you understand, Jim, that you don't get everything you ask for. It has to be according to God's will. I understand all of that, but we can't use little theological dodges to get away from the fact that a lot of people don't have things that God wants you to have right now today. He wants you to have it right now today, but over my life or possibly yours, he writes, you have not because you asked not.
It's very true. He's not talking about getting the new Rolls Royce. He's talking about seeing God answer prayer and breakthrough in family and breakthrough in lives and breakthrough in communities. So much God wants to do. I feel in my own life, if the Lord was going to fault me right now, he wouldn't fault me for working hard or being devoted or being willing to give my life for the gospel. He'd say to me, you need to ask. You need to ask more. One more quote from Pastor Cimbala.
And the history of revivals down through the ages have told us that whenever things have grown crass and commercial and secular and hard and worldly, God sends a revival. And what's always the sign of the revival? Behold, they pray. The church begins to pray.
It's the truth. Samuel Chadwick, who was a mentor to Leonard Ravenhill in his early years, said the church always fails at the point of self-confidence. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to D-Ron in... All right. Well, tell you what, let's go to Ernie in Cape Town, South Africa. Ernie, what time is it where you are?
Mike, hi. It's a little before 10 in the evening.
All right. That's not bad. Well, welcome to the Line of Fire all the way from South Africa, sir.
Yeah, my heart is burning here at the southern ends of the earth. You know, how do we make this a reality? How do we cultivate this prayer lifestyle, you know, to drive this movement that's burning in your heart?
Yeah, well, the answer comes down to your devotion to Jesus. The answer comes down to you being determined that you will not and cannot continue to live the way you've been living. that you will keep asking and keep knocking until change comes. And when God convicts you to make changes in your own life, that you'll respond to the Spirit, and something that used to be a negative life habit becomes a distant memory of the past, and something that you yearned for many, many years becomes a wonderful, glorious life habit. It comes from recognizing that the hunger in your heart is put there by God, that the spiritual thirst in your heart is put there by God, that that deep sense that there must be more is put there by God. And if you will cry out to Him and lay your life before Him in obedience, you will see His promises fulfilled. Psalm 107:9 tells us that He satisfies the thirsty and He fills the hungry with good things. The promises come to the hungry and to the thirsty, not to those that are self-filled and content in their own ways and in their own lives and ministries, but to those who are hungry and thirsty, those who have a spiritual appetite. It's a good thing to check your spiritual appetite. Just like if someone's really sick, sometimes they lose their physical appetite, and then you see them a few months later and they've put some weight back on and they're looking healthy. The appetite is back because the health is back. We can check our spiritual appetite. So that's what I would say, dear brother. You and God.
How do we do this collectively, Mike? How do we, you know, I was listening to that Jim Cimbala YouTube video the other night, and, you know, Isaiah 62 just burns on my heart, you know, that we see
yes.
God day and night, but corporately, you know, to establish these things in the USA, in Israel, and to all peoples.
Yes, so Ernie, here's what we do, and I'm getting close to a break, so I want to try to jump in and answer. And other friends on hold that are listening, stay there. I'll get your calls right on the other side of the hour. But Ernie, number one, we start going after God ourselves. Number two, we pray for a spirit of prayer in church leaders, not to condemn them, but to get behind them and to help. Whatever local fellowship you're part of, pray for a spirit of prayer in the leadership. And then find others of like heart. If it's three people, if it's five people, if it's two people, and say, hey, let's just seek God together in prayer. We're not trying to start our own church or have our own Bible study. Let's seek God together. And many times, great moves of God have begun. The prayer revival that started in New York City and spread across America and jumped over the Atlantic Ocean, that started with a few people praying together. Other great moves have started with a few people praying together. Let your own fire burn bright. Ernie, I know as the fire in my life has burned bright, it has affected many, many others around me, and the Lord has used me to help ignite fires in others. And there were fires ignited in others that have helped ignite fire in me. Start where you are. Don't despise the day of small things. Pray for a spirit of prayer in whatever assembly you're part of, and find other praying people and give yourself to prayer with them. And only God knows what will happen. We'll hear amazing stories from you, Ernie, even a year from now. Thank you for connecting all the way over from South Africa. Friends, we hear from folks around the world all the time. Because of intranet and the power of getting this broadcast out through podcast for free around the world, we hear from people constantly from different nations. In fact, we have requests from the nations, not just to go and preach, but to do national events. And friends, it is for such a time as this that God has raised us up, and we're asking every one of you who believes in this ministry to pray with us. We're in the second day of 21 days of prayer and fasting, however the Lord lays on your heart to do that, to stand with us. Ask God to back us. Ask God to provide everything we need so that we can do everything He's called us to do with excellence for His glory. And for those that can help us financially, your gift of $50 or more, I want to send you my signed copy on the book of Jeremiah. It comes along with Commentaries and Lamentations and Ezekiel, 928-page, beautiful hardcover volume that you'll cherish and find yourself enriched by the content. $50 or more, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Today's also a great day to become a monthly supporter. Why not do that? 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, if there was any one thing that I could see happen that would bring radical transformation to the church and the world, it would be that God's house was a house of prayer. Well, before there can be a Jesus revolution in society, there needs to be a Jesus revolution in the church. What kind of changes do you think God wants to bring about among us?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I started the first hour saying this. I want to repeat it at the beginning of the second hour. I'm sitting here doing the broadcast today, greatly encouraged. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire. I am not sitting here encouraged because something unusual happened to our ministry. I'm not sitting here encouraged because something happened in society around us. I'm not encouraged because of something that the Lord did in my own life or family. Simply because Jesus is Lord, I'm encouraged. Simply because he has risen from the dead, I'm encouraged. Simply because he paid for all of my sins, died to make me his own, rose from the dead for my justification, ever lives to make intercession for me, and will one day return so I can be with him forever. That means no matter what I'm passing through, no matter what you're passing through in this world, no matter how painful, difficult the trial may be, no matter how hopeless the situation, the Lordship of Jesus carries us. The resurrection of Jesus carries us. It gives us hope in the midst of hopelessness. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-3487-884. Simple question. We recognize before there can be radical change in the society, before there could be revolution in the society, there must also be revolution in the church. Oh, not revolution where you bring your guns to church service on Sunday morning. Not revolution where you file a protest against the pastor. Not that kind of revolution, but radical change. As I said in the first hour, I want to repeat it now. My hat is off to pastors who have served faithfully for many, many years, having to prepare messages each week, having to be a voice of encouragement, having to carry the burdens of so many people. And sometimes the smaller the congregation, the less help and the more that falls on the shoulders of the local pastor and leader, which is all the more reason that it's important to have whatever team you can with elders and others that share the load, and even a biblical understanding of leadership and fivefold ministry, so it's not all falling on one person. But sometimes when a church is smaller, there's even more responsibility and weight that comes on the senior leader or leaders that God's raised up. And I have nothing but appreciation for those who've labored for years and who've struggled in difficult fields and who haven't seen mega growth, and they've been there by the bedside of an old person in their congregation dealing with dying of cancer. They've been there with the family that just gets word that their kid's on drugs. They've been there praying with someone that's struggling to overcome some addiction. They've been there as someone gets some weird doctrine and tries to split the church and leaves. So I've got great appreciation for shepherds and leaders that serve. And my goal is to serve other leaders as a leader myself. At the same time, I recognize that more of the same is only going to produce more of the same. And since we know America's going in the wrong direction, and generally speaking, the Church of America is going in the wrong direction, I'm talking about those who identify as born-again evangelical, by and large, we are going in the wrong direction in terms of our devotion, in terms of the purity of our lives, in terms of the commitment of our lives, and on and on and on and on and on. Because of all of this, there needs to be change. Is the change a matter of getting in the latest strategist to tell us what color our building needs to be? Is it a matter of getting in the latest strategist who can tell us what kind of music we need to draw the people? Or are there more fundamental biblical things that we need to do? Change coming to us that'll rock this nation. I don't mean we should be old-fashioned and that the goal is to be old-fashioned. But I want to say the real gospel of Jesus and the real power of the Spirit is always the answer. How do we live that out? Back with your calls, 866-34-TRUTH.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much, friends, for being part of the broadcast today. You know, it's easy to tear down. It's easy to criticize this group and this pastor and that teacher and this leader and that last guy and this irreligious. And then we're not doing any better. 866-34-TRUTH. You know, I've watched with interest over the years the house church movement, and I absolutely affirm that there's something wonderful happening in house churches all around the world, and that many times that's the only alternative, and that's the way God moves, and community is built, and discipleship is done, and many things happen that can happen in large corporate meetings. I also see the importance of large corporate meetings. I see both in the New Testament, in fact. But I've watched and seen issues with large corporate meetings where you sit there and stare at the back of someone's head and that's your main spiritual expression, one gathering a week and hearing someone bring you a message and the worship team almost entertain you. And you go home and that's it. Now, that's not going to change the world. The devil's not scared of that. Why would he be? At the same time, I've seen people drop out of that, call it disorganized religion or the traditional church, even Babylon. I've seen them, and then they have their house groups. Remember, I'm a friend of the house churches. I have many friends who have house churches and lead house church movements and have written about house church and its importance. So all I'm doing is being constructive here. I've seen house churches, and what they do is they sit around basically and bash traditional religion as they see it. And that traditional religious megachurch down the block is doing more to feed the poor and more to preach the gospel and more to support world missions than 100 of these house churches together. And the house churches sit there saying, like the Pharisee in Luke 18, saying, I thank God I'm not like these others. And they're just self-righteous. So being critical doesn't help anything. But saying, Lord, here I am, use me. Here's the dynamic of 10 people meeting in a home together in a network of house churches in our community make a difference. Wonderful. And we're pouring our funds into meeting needs. Wonderful. And here's a mega church coming together and then discipling people in another context and using its combined strength to make a difference. Wonderful. But something has to change. Something has to change if we're going to see the change we want to see in the world around us. 866-34-TRUTH. Last point, then I go to the phones. I've been saved now for 42 years. As I say it, it doesn't sound like a lot. It really doesn't. But the fact is, it's long enough to have seen a lot, and long enough to have been through a lot, and long enough to realize that the miraculous answer we're looking for is not just going to fall like ripe fruit from a tree and hit us on the head, and one day, bang, we're changed, and everything's changed, and oh, no more than one day you're going to wake up after not having worked out for 10 years and run the Boston Marathon and win. It just doesn't happen like that. However, we serve an awesome, amazing God, and if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. And as Jim Cimbala said, Pastor Cimbala, whom I quoted in the first hour, prayer begets revival, which begets more prayer. Something happens in your own life, and it gets multiplied. 866-34-TRUTH to the phones. Let's go to Queens, New York. Angie, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Brother Brown. You started asking about speaking about the churches and leaders. We have to go to basics. You're right, because you did mention that. And the basic is when the Lord came to Peter and asked, do you love me? 3 times. He was offended. He said, why the Lord? If you love me, feed my flock. Now, that's what the leader is. Now, this leader has to be spirit-filled. Be controlled by the Spirit. Has to be. Because that's what is going to have the insight. He's going to know what the congregation needs to hear. Then he's going to also be nice, having the fruit of love. No, the Spirit. I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Love. In love, but firm, demanding from the congregation to know the Word. Because without that, nothing will happen. Nobody's transformed. Nobody understands. because people, they even know from beginning to end the word, but what it means, the discerning is not there, and the practicing is not there, of course, as a result. Now, the Lord says that, yes, to know the word, but obeying, because there is a huge warning when the Lord says, don't call me, you call me Lord, Lord, and you're not doing what I'm telling you to do. And go away, I never knew you. This is a huge warning for everybody, I think.
And yeah, Angie, let me just say this. Words of wisdom. We must be men and women of the Spirit, especially if we are in leadership, because we cannot get God's work done in our strength and flesh. We cannot love people the way God wants us to. We cannot serve people the way God wants us to. We cannot set captives free the way God wants us to, and on down the list without being people of the Spirit. You say, well, we have the Spirit when we're saved. Well, where's the evidence of it? Perhaps we need more time alone with God. Perhaps we need more time drinking in His Word and drinking in His presence in worship. I'm not talking literally drinking His presence. Please understand the metaphors that I'm using for those that are hyper-literal in your thinking. And out of that encounter with Him, stay in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. We see that lived out. It was the pattern of the early believers to seek God. And when they prayed, the place where they had gathered was shaken. And then out of that, when they preached, something happened. I've ministered and recognized that I'm lacking something in terms of the presence and anointing of the Spirit in my life as I minister. When I seek Him that next day and minister again, the breakthroughs are dramatic. Thank you so much, Angie, for that exhortation. 866-34-TRUTH. Now, I know I haven't heard in the first hour or so far today from a lot of church strategists. I know I haven't heard, it's based on sound of the voices, from a lot of young people who are going to tell me where the church needs to change and be more accepting or relevant or things like that. And I'm sure there are ways where we need to be more culturally wise. But I'm in agreement with a lot of the calls that say back to the basics. That's where we're messing up. The basics. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll stay in Queens, New York for one more call. Phil in Jamaica, Queens. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello. Hello, Dr. Brown. God bless you. Yes, the church needs to, you know, to change. And Einstein had said the definition of Matthew is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
Yeah.
But the problem is, there's not enough people like you. What do I mean by that? People who are discipled. We have plenty of followers. They come to church on Sunday, packing the place out. But they don't come on Wednesday for prayer, Bible study. They don't come on Friday service. And it's hard to get a group together to go out for evangelism on Saturday. Plenty of followers who come on Sunday. Not enough disciples. That's the same thing that's going on in your ministry that you spoke about. Plenty of opportunities, but not enough resources. You don't have enough disciples, enough people on fire. There's something called the 80-20 rule. 20% of the people do 80% of the work.
It's probably more like 95-5, but...
Correct, sir. Correct. So, even listening to this radio station, most of the people who listen to it don't support it financially. 20% or less.
Yeah. And I would of course, you recognize that it's going to be a very few. So, Phil, that really is another key thing, making disciples. So here's the big issue. Here is the big issue. It doesn't just happen from going to a discipleship class. There must be an overall change in our mentality as to what it means to be the church, what it means to be followers of Jesus. I'm not being critical, I'm being realistic. We, notice I didn't say you, we are so terribly distracted by so many things around us. We are so terribly distracted. Look, I'm talking to soccer moms, and you say, I can't squeeze in an extra minute or I'm going to burst. talking to some men, and you're driving. You just finished your first job. You're on your way to your second job just to make ends meet. And you committed to get your kids in Christian school, not a public school, and you're working this extra job. You say, what else can I do? So there's no condemnation here, except to say that we need to somehow unite together and be disciples and help make disciples. And that means a holistic commitment to be Jesus people first and foremost. How can that be overcome? Only with holy desperation and a serious commitment that the change begins with us. You say, tall order. Yes, but we need great change. Where does it start? How about you and a friend? How about you within your family? Let's be disciples and make disciples. Thank you for the call, Phil. We'll be right back with more calls and some great audio clips.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I have missionary friends that have been on the field in Italy for about 40 years. They went over there fresh out of the hippie world, most of them. Some had good careers already, but others saved out of the hippie world. And they went over as backpacking hippies. They didn't know anything. They didn't have outside experience or anything like that. No language training, no financial backing. Just kind of on adventure, and they're going to share Jesus before he came, which was any minute. And, well, any minute turned into 40 years now. And, you know, they're grandparents, and some of them have kids that are in their 40s, and there's nowhere else to go. They don't have a retirement plan. They've lived in little tents and trailers for decades. Oh, they have massive treasure in heaven. Well, they've lived like this. They've lived with their lamps trimmed and burning, and they've lived ready to go and ready to take the next step and ready to go out and change the world. And here we are, send us, use us, and they've lived light and easy. But it's almost impossible to maintain something like that throughout a whole society and community. There's got to be something in our own mindset, our own hearts, that changes so deeply that we say, here I am, send me, use me, and we become Jesus revolutionaries. Changed in our own lives, transformed in our own hearts, burning bright. I mean, it's the key to everything. Personal revival, friends, is the key to everything. If you could push a button and see change come to the church and from there to the society, what would it be? By the way, in a little while we'll be joined by Dr. David Jeremiah, who's going to be coming to North Carolina shortly. We want to talk about that and get his heart on these things. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Anaheim, California. Jay, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, thank you for having me on. I appreciate this topic and revival and revolution, and I also want a stronger hunger for God. I wanted to weigh in some of what I've been thinking about regarding revival and revolution. In my workplace, it seems to me that people really don't want to have anything to do with God, and they're mm-hmm. very hardened, and I feel like any kind of light being shined is sort of pushed away, and I feel people in the church, very rarely you'll find people want to pray and fast for a move of God's presence, and I was thinking, you know, and Smith Wigglesworth said in the last days there will be a revival of the Word and the Spirit.
Yes, he did.
And, yeah. And
Jay, how old are you?
I'm 27.
27, got it.
And I've been hearing other thoughts about that, saying that, you know, in the last days, Jesus said that, you know, will he be able to find faith on the earth? And I hope I'll be one of those people with faith, but I sometimes I doubt, you know, maybe there isn't going to be a revival. Maybe there isn't going to be that move of the Spirit. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, here's the thing, Jay. And I've obviously been through that a few times over my lifetime. I'm 58, but in many ways I feel like I'm 27 in terms of hope and expectation. We don't know exactly where we stand. We don't know exactly how much time is left on the clock. When I got saved in 71, late great planet Earth was current then. There was certain expectation. Jesus is coming any minute. Jerusalem had come back into Jewish hands in 67. The clock was ticking since 48 when Israel was rebirthed as a nation. The counterculture revolution of the 60s looked so disastrous that surely this is the last generation apostasy. And our timing was off. And God's done amazing things around the world in terms of great harvest. And in the midst of a lot of backsliding and apostasy in America, there have been real pockets of outpouring and revival. And what we need to do is realize that as surely as the sun rises, Hosea 6, a promise to Israel that we can apply spiritually, as surely as the sun rises, he will appear. And he does fill the hungry and satisfy the thirsty. So what I don't worry so much about the larger time frame because we can get that wrong. What I know, and as our missions director said, I've often quoted it, Dr. Josh Peters, it may not be the last generation, but it's our last generation. So what you need to do, Jay, is believe that in your life, God's spirit can burn bright. In your life, he can do something radical and dramatic. And as there's fire in you, it's going to be contagious. Oh, some will hate you. Some will turn against you. Some will mock you. But that's because of your identification with Jesus if you walk in humility and grace and love towards others. But if something happens in your life, it will spread inevitably. And if there are no open doors where you are, God will send you somewhere else and use you. There's a massive ripe harvest ready to be reaped around the world. And if you make yourself available where you are and continue to say, Lord, here I am, send me, use me, you have no idea where you'll end up or how he'll use you or what your own story will be. Hey, Jay, thanks for the call. Keep pressing in. Keep your eyes on the faithfulness of God, not the faithlessness of people. And you will always be encouraged. All right, friends, I want to get to some more calls and then welcome my guest, Dr. David Jeremiah, to the broadcast in just a couple of moments. And we want to hear his heart. What's in his heart for the church, for the future? And we'll give you the details of his meetings for all of our friends listening in North Carolina. Again, this is the second day of 21 days where we're asking you to stand with us in prayer, and if the Lord lays it on your heart in fasting, every one of you can do that, and you can simply say, Father, back this ministry with your provision so they can do everything you've called them to do. We've never had more open doors. We've never had more opportunities to expand and touch more lives. We've never had more opposition, which is always a good sign, and we've never had more encouragement as lives are being touched and lives are being changed, and together we're making a real difference. But we're at one of those points where we have to have this divine breakthrough, and we know that we're seeking his will and his pleasure and his glory, and we're asking you to do what you can, which is stand with us in prayer, believe God with us over these next 20 days in particular, and we'll rejoice together as we see God's supernatural work. Friends, those that want to stand with us, we've got something very special to put in your hands. Many of you know I spent some years working on a commentary on Jeremiah, 550 pages, as we introduced Dr. Jeremiah, 550-page commentary on the book of Jeremiah for the Revised Expositor's Bible Commentary Series. It comes together with a great commentary on Lamentations and one on Ezekiel by other top Old Testament scholars. It's 928 pages, beautiful hardcover volume that will enhance your library, and you'll be enriched by the words of the commentary. It'll take you deeper in your love for God and your heart for God. Well, I want to send this to you signed for your gift of $50 or more to help us stand on the front lines as a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution and as a voice of outreach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So call now 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. Be right back with Charisma.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. We've been talking about revolution that needs to come in the church, what God must do in our midst so that we can see a radical impact on our society through the gospel. We've been talking about majoring on the majors, back on the basics, being back to the basics, being a house of prayer, experiencing personal revival, making Jesus known, being a community that makes disciples. And it's my joy to welcome to the broadcast one of the most respected, loved pastors in our nation, Dr. David Jeremiah, pastor and author. I had purchased one of his recent books, where he never expected to live to see certain things. Does that put us in a place of fear and hopelessness? Dr. Jeremiah will be in Greenville, South Carolina. Put this on your calendar. I've been saying North Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina, February 20th at the Bon Secours Wellness Arena. And he'll be joined by Marshall Hall, who's the worship leader at Shadow Mountain Community Church, and others. You do not want to miss this event. February 20th, 2014, so just 16 days away, 7 p.m., Greenville, South Carolina. Dr. Jeremiah, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us on the Line of Fire.
It's good to talk to you again, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, sir. Well, I'm 58. I've been in the Lord for 42 years, but you're a senior to me in your experience and in your age. As you look out at America today, you're seeing things you never expected to see in your lifetime. Does that leave you hopeless, discouraged, in fear? What's your own state of mind as a senior leader in the body?
Well, you know, the old adage is, the darker the night, the brighter the light shines. I don't think there's ever been a greater time for the gospel than there is now. And to me, that's what's so tragic about some of our lighthouses across the nation that have the capacity to shine the light of the Word of God, coming up with a crazy idea that there's something more important than the Bible, and therefore the light is dim and nobody can see it. If we're going to shine, we got to shine, and the Word of God is the truth. And when we teach and preach the Word of God, I can tell you, after all these years, I've been doing it for 40 years, people are drawn to the Word of God, and they are changed by what happens in their life.
So what do you make of the strategists telling us that this isn't working and that isn't working, and somehow we have to change our message to be culturally relevant? What do you think of those types of mindsets?
I don't know how to explain that, because I don't know anything other than what I have done, which is to teach the Scripture and to teach the Word of God and to watch how God honors it. And, of course, I'm not surprised by that, because he promises to do that very thing. What I am surprised by is that guys that I even went to seminary with, guys that I know were skilled in the Scripture, have decided to take that other approach. And instead of the Word of God, they get culturally relevant messages based on videos and whatever. And the people who come to church hoping to be nourished up in the Word of God go away hungry and hurting.
So back to the basics.
That's what you said, and that's what I believe. I believe that any guy who will take the time to go to the Word of God and find out what it says and what it means and what it means to people today will have an audience for as long as he wants one. It's when we start jumping from this thing to that, this idea to that idea, and we end up with the ideas of men instead of the truth of God, that we languish and we get lost. Church was never meant to be that. And so, you know, I guess I'm a little bit edgy about it, because I just see the hope of this country in our churches, but not unless we get back to this.
All right, Dr. Jeremiah, I just want you to stay with me for a couple more minutes. I want to talk about what folks can expect when they come to your event, Greenville, South Carolina, February 20th. You tell us to stand our ground. It's time to live fearlessly. How do we do it?
Fire we want, for fire we plead. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, during the break, you're hearing different feeds. You're hearing rather different ads on your radio stations. I'm hearing a certain feed coming through, and I heard the voice, as I do every day, of Dr. David Jeremiah, Route 66, driving the word home. So I am on a pretty much daily basis listening to David Jeremiah's words in my ears. Many of you hear him on these same radio stations. He's coming to Greenville, South Carolina, February 20th. So that's just a little over 2 weeks from now, 7 p.m. You don't want to miss that meeting. Dr. Jeremiah, you've done these rallies at different parts of the country. Thousands of people come together. What can they expect when they go to this meeting in Greenville, South Carolina on February 20th?
Well, they're going to be encouraged. They're going to come together, and the first thing that happens, we have a little fun at the beginning of the meeting before it actually starts. We have a lot of great music, and then we, Gordon Moat, who is our keyboardist, and Marshall Hall, who leads worship, and we have a praise band and a great group of singers. We lead worship, and when you're in a group of several thousand people singing praise to God, if nothing else happened the whole night, it'd be worth being there just for that.
That's true.
I'm up on the platform, and I'm getting the full force of it. And there's sometimes when it just moves me to emotion to see the people of God. And you know, the Bible tells us that when we praise the Lord, it ascends to heaven like incense before the throne. I understand that better than I ever have understood it, being a part of an event like this. And then, of course, we share a little bit about what's happening at Turning Point, and I get to teach and preach the Word of God. And it's a great night. We know that our goal is to come into an area and leave it with people encouraged in their faith and new believers coming to know Christ that night. And whenever we leave, we pray that God will bless the community and use what happens in this strategic night to take them to a new level of faithfulness and encouragement.
And that's really it. When we experience personal renewal, revival, encouragement, transformation, it spreads. It becomes contagious. Someone sent me a note some weeks ago that you had spoken at Brooklyn Tabernacle and had a connection with the folks there that tied in with prayer. Is it true that that's something that you value as well, God's people really knowing how to pray?
Absolutely. And it's the, you know, I think if we were to take the temperature of the church across the whole length and breadth of it and ask the question, what do you feel most defeated about in your life? It would be that subject. If you ask the average person, do you pray? Yes, do you pray as you should? And they would all shake their head. I mean, all of us would have to admit we don't pray as we should. And yet here's the Bible that tells us we have not because we ask not. And I believe that it has to be a part of what we do if we're going to see the blessing of God. I got to tell you something real quick about that. I've always heard people say, well, you know, that man's anointed or that group's anointed or that church is anointed. And if you study that in the scripture, it's pretty hard to figure out what that means.
Right.
The other day I heard somebody say it this way. I'll never forget this. To be anointed is the difference between what you can do on your own and what God can do through you. And that's all about prayer. And I thought to myself, you know, God, I want to be anointed. I want to be anointed. And that comes through realizing that we are not sufficient for these things, but Almighty God is able to do above and beyond all we can ever ask or think.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. I've been reminding our folks, if the dream and vision in your heart is not impossible, and it's probably not put there by God. And when it is put there by God, it stretches us so that we have to have his help because we can't do it ourselves. One last question, Dr. Jeremiah, before you leave us. If you were going to give us one key to living fearlessly, I know you're going to encourage people February 20th, Greenville, South Carolina. Again, that's the Bon Secours Wellness Center. I may not have pronounced it right, but if you live there, you know what it is. What's a key to living fearless lives in the midst of a fear-filled society?
Well, you know, the title of the book is, What Are You Afraid Of? Facing Down Your Fears with Your Faith. You know, faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. If you want to be able to face what's going on in the world today, you have to have a big God. You have to believe in that God is able to do what you need him to do. And that comes by building your faith in him. How do you build your faith in God? It comes through your commitment to the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if we don't have that, if we face the world and its fears with a weak faith, we will fail. But when we build our faith, when we ask God to help us grow in our knowledge of Him, and to understand who He is and what He does and what He has done, then we have the equipment we need to walk into the world with a kind of strength and confidence that is not possible in our own ability.
Yeah, absolutely true. And it's timeless as well. Dr. Jeremiah, thanks so much for being with us. It's a blessing to have you on the broadcast with us. And folks, go to davidjeremiah.org. Click on An Evening with David Jeremiah. Give you an advance notice, all of our friends listening in the Austin, Texas area, April 24th. Put it on your calendar, Cedar Park Center, also with Dr. Jeremiah. So go to davidjeremiah.org and click on An Evening with David Jeremiah. Thanks, sir, for taking time with us today.
Hey, thank you for having me. Thanks so much.
All right. Well, friends, back to the basics. We've been saying it. Dr. Jeremiah says the same thing. Now, it's not to say that God won't give us wisdom to do things differently, but a lot of the message from the world, well, the people won't listen to you because of this or that, it's not true. The problem is we haven't been with Jesus adequately. That's the greater issue. 866-34-TRUTH. Carolyn in Brooklyn, thanks so much for holding, and welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, thank you very much. Yes, as a former Jehovah's Witness, I'd like to say, the friends of the church don't know how to defend themselves, and that's the problem. Like you pointed out before, that we sit behind each other and hear a beautiful sermon and go home in our comfort zone, and the witnesses call at the door, and we don't open the door. And there's a ministry right there at the door. And it really, if you look at the cults, this is their winning way. They catch the friends off guard who can't defend themselves. The wrong people, of course, call at the door. But we're not taught in the church how to defend ourselves. And if we could even just defend the gospel, just salvation alone, many of the friends in church will come to me and ask me questions, what should I say about the deity of Christ and prove the Trinity and this, that, and the other. And you can't answer that in one sentence. You have to study it. But the point is that the friends have to be able to study the Bible and be adequate, like you just pointed out, and defend the faith. That's the secret. And all these beautiful other things, prayer and doing good to one another and living up to a Christian life, will follow with the confidence you've had in defending the faith. So that's the secret.
Yeah,
so
Carolyn,
beautiful.
You know, two key things.
Yes,
again,
yes.
I want to take away from what you're saying, and thank you so much for holding so long to share that with us. Number one, we got to be people of the Word. The Word of God is there. It's inviting us, even without the formal training in each area, just to be in the Word regularly, mm-hmm. to be feasting in it, digesting it. The bird's eye view, reading through the Scriptures regularly. The worm's eye view, digging
that's
in, studying,
secret.
Getting
that's
deeper.
That's
and with that is confidence.
Yes. Bill, you build on if you can
right.
if you can help someone else see the Lord as He really is, this builds your confidence. You go on to someone else, that person you help goes on to someone else, and like the well-meaning other speakers before me, it's one-on-one, and the friends hide. They actually hide behind the door, don't answer the door. I said, invite them in, share Christ with them. They don't know Christ. The Mormons don't know Christ. Jehovah's Witnesses don't. The Muslims don't
right.
know Christ.
But see, that's the thing. We have to have that yes. confidence, Carolyn. And
yes.
and you know, look, my modern Hebrew
from
is
the church, from
yeah.
the church.
My modern Hebrew is pretty weak. It used to be stronger. It was never fluent, but it used to be much stronger than mm-hmm. it is now. I just haven't used it in so long. And if I'm around Israelis, I don't have confidence, because if they start speaking to me in Hebrew, I miss something. I can't express myself fully. But if it's someone that wants to dig into the Hebrew Scriptures with me, let us dig together, you bet, because I've got confidence there because of fluency. So friends, quality time with God, quality time in the Word. I know it's so basic and we've got all these other high-level ideas for change, but these are key things. Dr. Jeremiah reinforced it, preaching the Word. The Word is always relevant. If you yourself are meeting with the Lord and you are bringing His Word in a life-giving way, people will be drawn, people will be changed. And when the power of the Holy Spirit is on you and people are being touched, like I said in the first hour, you can look old-fashioned and have an old hairdo, but if the power of God's on you and captives are being set free, you will not be able to keep the crowds away. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I had some more audio clips to play. I'm not going to get to them today because of the many calls and then my talk with Dr. David Jeremiah. By the way, for those in the Charlotte area that like an academic debate, February 20th at Southern Evangelical Seminary, I'll be having a dialogue with Professor James Tabor, who heads up the religion department at UNC Charlotte. We're going to be talking about his book, Paul and Jesus, his belief after many decades of study that Paul is basically the one that transformed Christianity, but away from its original roots. Of course, I'll have a very different take on that. It's not an actual debate. It's going to be a dialogue, but I think one that you'll find tremendously interesting. And that's going to be at Southern Evangelical Seminary. Put that down in your calendar. I'll tell you how you can attend. But that's February 20th. For those that will not be at Dr. Jeremiah's meeting in Greenville, South Carolina, 866-34-TRUTH. Shortly, I'm going to give you my own thoughts about revolution in the church. Let me grab a couple more calls. First, Michael in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, thanks. I will have to ask that you take your theologian hat off for a second. Give me just a little bit of liberty. Something in the Old Testament that really stands out when you talk about the basics and the process and what's wrong and how do we get on the right track. But to me, Jonah is a perfect picture of that. I mean, here you have the man of God who makes decisions, gets on the wrong boat, who's set out to sea in the middle of the storm, dead asleep. And that's really... his process after that, I think, is the answer for us. If there's not an awareness, if there's not being awake to the reality, so just a desire to say, God, show me the reality. Not just God show you, but look at it. If people say, you know, most Christians that head off to college, you know, leave the faith, well, is that true or is it not? You know, either there's a storm going on or it's not. And if we are willing to wake up, come to the top of the boat, see what's going on, and if there is a storm, take responsibility for it. And upon that taking responsibility, the next step is just complete surrender so that God himself can get us back on the right track. And it's just something that the Lord showed me a few years ago that I knew it has nothing to do with the explanation of Scripture, but to me it's a great picture of how we actually go through the process of wrong decision being made right.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And the recognition that something is dreadfully wrong, hence complete surrender right where we are and leave it to God to get us back on the right track or show us where to go. Yes, simple and clear. I appreciate it. Let me grab one more call. Colin in Wilson, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, thanks for having me. You know, just thinking about it, in my mind, you know, it really does go back to individual Christians' relationship with the Lord. I mean, we've got to a point in our society where church is a fashion. I mean, you know, when you move to a town, you belong to a church. It's kind of a status thing. Individual,
especially in some places, some areas. Yeah, absolutely.
So we get so comfortable. It's about traditional comfort, you know. The music needs to be the way we want it. We want the seats to be the way they want it. We need a sermon to make us feel good about ourselves. But it's not really about digging into God's Word, having a daily relationship with the Lord where you're constantly in His Word. And then from that, the Great Commission is what we're here for. And I think that building disciples. I mean, I know now I have two men that I've met in my workplace and in other ways that I'm discipling one-on-one weekly. And that accountability factor is so huge, and that's what the church is, one of the reasons the church is formed, and that community organization is so we have that accountability. And we're so compromising in this day and age as a Christian church that we're afraid to hold other Christians accountable, and so our credibility is gone, and those outside the church, they see it.
Yeah, and Colin, just that if we evaluate our lives based on Great Commission, if we evaluate our lives on what am I doing to be a disciple and to make disciples, back to the basics again. Hey, thank you for the call. Again, sorry, was not able to get to many other calls today. I jotted down a few points that if we'll have revolution in these ways, the church will be revolutionized, and we will have a revolutionary impact on society. Prayer, yeah, back to the basics. God's house being a house of prayer, God's people being praying people, being known for that. Second, that it's all about Jesus, not about our organization or our denomination or our ministry. It's all about Jesus, and that's what we live for, to make him known. That's our central drive, heart, worship, desire. And okay, what can we do? Society's messed up. We'll go for lost people. You say they don't want to listen. Pray for divine connections. Pray for open hearts. Serve. Serve hurting people. Serve poor people. Serve needy people. And do what you can, whatever circles you're in, to build community. Whether it's with 5 people or 10 or 100, do what you can to build community so that you can really have deep, lasting relationships. After all, relationship, the foundation of everything in life. And then open this to the Spirit. Lord, we can't do your work in our own power. We can't do your work in our own strength. Samuel Chadwick, destitute of the fire of God, nothing else counts. Possessing fire, nothing else matters. Jim Cimbala quoted him a few times today. The devil is not terribly frightened of our human efforts and credentials, but he knows his kingdom will be damaged when we begin to lift up our hearts to God. And then we say, Lord, come in the power and life of your Spirit. Come and touch us. Come and move among us. And as he comes and moves, we welcome his Spirit. Friends, we don't have an alternative, do we, if we're going to stand before him on that day and have him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And we're asking you, every one of you listening, I'm asking you personally to stand with me in prayer. And if the Lord lays it on your heart, fasting over the next 20 days, this is the second day as we're gathering our staff through the day at different times and praying and crying out to God together in our private time, seeking his face and then fasting whatever ways he's laying on our hearts. Why are we doing it? Because we're at the point where we have to have divine intervention. We must believe God every month just to be on the stations we're on and do the ministry we're doing. We have to believe him for tens of thousands of dollars above and beyond the current budget. And to step into the things that he's calling us to, we need to believe him for tens of thousands more. So what am I asking you to do? Pray. Pray with us that God would open the floodgates of heaven. He knows where the funds go. He knows the frugality we live by. He knows our heart to touch this world and to glorify Jesus and to reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And we're confident we're doing his will and his work, and therefore he'll back us. But we're asking you to pray with us. Would you do that? You say, how? Just however it's on your heart. In the midst of your prayer time, taking extra prayer time, joining together with a family member and praying, saying, God, back your vision. You've called Dr. Brown to, you've called Mike to, and the team, back your vision with your provision. And for those that want to help us financially, your gift of $50 or more, I want to send you a signed copy of my commentary on Jeremiah, 550 pages plus a commentary on Lamentations and a commentary on Ezekiel, so 928 pages total, beautiful hardcover volume. Your gift of $50 or more, I want to send this to you signed, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, here we are in the 21st century with so much change around us, but the message of God remains back to the basics.